Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me, as always, is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How you doing today?
Doing great, brother.
All right. Praise the Lord. Also with us, as always, is the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How you doing today?
I'm doing awesome.
Praise God. Praise God. Well, we are going to be discussing a very contentious issue within the church, whether or not these exist, whether or not if people are doing them properly. But you know what? It's a discussion that's been happening in the church since its edifice. So it's no problem for us to discuss these things because they are really, really important. And so we had a question come in, and it came on the backdrop. Actually, she asked this a little bit earlier. A wonderful sister in the Lord from New York, Mary von Eif. I'm finally saying that correctly because I guess it's German. But the von Eif family over there, which does have, if you guys go to blessedhopechapel.org, you guys can go to our fellowship families or our live stream families link there, and you can find them and connect with them if you're somewhere in New York. I know I just sent an email to someone in Long Island that says they're not too far from them. So, Mary, get ready for a text or a phone call from that person, I guess. But she had asked us to do something on the gift of tongues. And I'm going to give the couple of questions that she gave, and then I'm going to give a little backdrop of something that was recently posted online as well. Okay, but she actually wrote this. She said, "Are there two types of speaking in tongues? Some say it's a private, personal language between them and the Lord. Also, they will speak about the fact that they are praying in tongues in their prayer language, out loud and audible, but quietly, and say that it is between them and the Lord." Now, with that as the backdrop of the question, I wanted to show a little clip of Perry Stone recently was, I guess, given a tongue, he would say. I would not say that, especially once you guys hear it. And this hopefully will give you a, I don't know, make you a little more thirsty or hungry for us to get that studio done, because I'd love to be able to show this on video. Yeah. And Tony, you'll be putting the link, I'm sure, on the description here of the video so you can see it and not just take my word for it. But Perry Stone was caught giving a quote-unquote tongue while continuously looking at his phone. You know, I never thought that at our time here with Good Fight Radio, I never thought that I would have to, and Joe would have to, or Tony would have to, answer the question of whether or not you can check football scores while speaking in tongues. But apparently it's something that we need to answer. So I just wanted to give you the backdrop. Usually I let the video play itself, but since we don't have the visual aid, as you're listening to him make these noises, notice, just think in your head, he's continuously picking up and looking at his phone. Tony, please play that clip.
Yes, Lord, have your way, have your way, have your way, have your way.
Okay, Tony, I think that's enough. So as you're listening to the moanings and groanings that seem to be going on there and the repetitious prayer that also seems to be going on there, notice if you look at the video, you'll see as he's moaning, during those moans, it seems to be that he's losing his train of thought because whatever he's reading on his phone. So, Joe, with that as the backdrop of the show on tongues, not necessarily that every single person that says they speak in tongues is doing that, I want to ask you not only what you think about that clip, but also just tongues in general.
Well, praise the Lord. I think it's important that we have an episode on the gift of tongues. It's a very divisive, as you mentioned, Chad, issue in the body of Christ, the tongue problem. The tongue problem, just people's misuse of their tongues is a problem in the body of Christ, but also the gift of tongues has become a problem when it was really supposed to be something quite edifying. But it's kind of ironic because this was a problem in the first century. The Apostle Paul had to correct some problems at the Church of Corinth because of their misuse and abuse of the gifts. However, I will say this, that the problem goes, there's two extremes. There's extreme of the, a lot of folks in the charismatic movement, and we, all three of us here, we believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We're not cessationists. We do believe in the gift of tongues because God believes in the gift of tongues. And he doesn't mention it ceasing until a certain point in time. And Paul states that that's when that which is perfect has come. And we know as we're known. We don't know as we're known yet. So that gift is not gone. However, there's two extremes. There's those who, which I find ironic. And another irony is that those who emphasize the gift of tongues often the most in their ministries seem to know the most little scripture regarding what the Bible says about the gift of tongues and the parameters under which it's supposed to be exercised, and the guidelines, and the testings, and everything else. And it's almost like they throw caution to the wind. They've either read the scriptures, there's not a whole lot of scriptures on tongues, they've either read them and ignored them, and they flaunt a said liberty. In fact, I was at a church years ago when I was a young Christian, first church I'd gone to, and I talked to the pastor, and he said, "How's it going, Joe?" I go, "Doing great." And I said, I do have a concern, though, because it was weighing on my heart, because at that fellowship, a lot of people would just all of a sudden speak in tongues at once. First church I went to after I was a Christian, and they'd be singing, all of a sudden you hear all these people speaking in tongues, and my heart would be grieved because I knew what the scripture said. I was a student of scripture, and I knew what the Apostle Paul said, which we'll talk about in a minute. And I said, I'm concerned because, you know, everybody's breaking forth in tongues all at once, and there's no interpreter, and I know what the Apostle Paul says. He says, "Won't they think that you're mad?" And he said that, "Well, Joe, we believe that we've reached a level of maturity at this fellowship where we don't have to go with that scripture." And my heart was so broken. It was at that moment that I knew I had to leave that fellowship because he was putting his own experience and desires and the church's desires above the scripture.
And more mature than the word of God, yeah.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? And Paul actually addresses that after he deals with the gifts. He says, if the scriptures only come to you, you know, are you the sole interpreters, you know? And, I mean, Paul actually realized... the scripture is so amazing. God anticipates that through Paul, and that would be a problem at the Corinthian church because they thought they were super spiritual. Paul deals with that issue with the Corinthians as well, and it's an issue today. However, you have the other side of the pole, the other extreme, the cessationists, who state that, tongues have ceased, prophecy have ceased. Some of them will say healings, miracles. They don't anoint with oil. You go to a lot of these churches, they won't even anoint with oil, and we're commanded to do that in James 5. So it's heartbreaking because that's an extreme too. And the body compares the gifts to a human body. As, you know, I can't say the hand, I have no need of you, that we need it all. So if you have a super long tongue and the focus is on a tongue sticking out of your body, you're going to have problems. In fact, you're not going to communicate well and you're going to run people off. However, if you chop off your tongue or you chop off certain parts of your body, you're going to be handicapped. So it's absolutely important that we get this right and we're biblical about it. And in the end times, we know that people will not heed to sound doctrine, and that's a sad thing, but there's that remnant. Let's be among the remnant who is straight and narrow, walks a straight and narrow road. So I'm going to let the scriptures do a lot of the talking. That was unfortunate with Perry Stone there. And as we read the scriptures, we'll see some of the reasons why. We'll also address, we'll play another clip in a little bit as well that I thought we should play because it's quite strange and enlightening at the same time, regarding the top for word faith teacher and one of the leaders of the Laughing Revival. 1 Corinthians 12, though, says in verses 8 and following, "To the one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge, by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines." So the scriptures speak of the gift of tongues, and the first time we see it take place in the New Testament was when the church was birthed on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verse 11. I'm going to be sharing some scriptures with folks this day where that a lot of people perhaps haven't even heard brought up in this discussion. We're going to see there's an interesting context in which tongues comes forth and why it comes forth. And we need to understand what the scriptures say about it to get a better understanding of its usage today. Acts 2:11, they were there at the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came upon them in power. Jesus said, tarry at Jerusalem. 120 days after his resurrection, the Holy Spirit fell. The feast days in the Old Testament were prophetic, and the Feast of Pentecost was the harvest. This was the harvest of souls. Amen. Passover had already taken place. Jesus was crucified as the Lamb of God on Passover day. Now the day of Pentecost, the harvest of souls comes in. Holy Spirit falls on the church. Instead of 3,000 people being killed, which is what happened when Moses came down with the law, 3,000 people get saved with the new covenant. The law came through Moses. Grace and truth comes through Jesus. But it's interesting, in Acts 2:11, we read that Cretans and Arabs, just after it's mentioned, several other people groups, because all these different Jews came from different areas of the world to celebrate three times a year the feast. And they were there at the Feast of Pentecost. And there were among them were different people, including Cretans and Arabs. And they were saying, we hear them in our own tongues speaking of the mighty deeds of God. So they're praising God. They're worshiping God. They're speaking in tongues, and they're proclaiming his praises, the mighty deeds that he's done. I think that's interesting, because listen to this. It says, for anyone, this is 1 Corinthians 14:2 now, when it talks about the role of tongues. For anyone who speaks in a tongue, listen to this, does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. Now, what did he just say there? It's clear language. 1 Corinthians 14:2. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. So they're not understandable, of course, unless there's a gift of interpretation there in the assembly. God chooses to activate that through someone. But it's very clear they're not speaking to men. They're speaking to God. So if you heard an interpretation of tongues, you would hear somebody proclaiming the mighty works of God, praising God, worshiping God, glorifying God, mysteries that the Holy Spirit's giving them in praise to God. And then if that would be if you heard the interpretation. This is important because oftentimes you see people that are speaking in tongues speaking to humans, addressing human beings. In fact, I wish you guys could see this clip. You can hear it though, but you'll hear Rodney Howard Brown, one of the leaders of the Laugh Revival. I did three messages on that. You go to our YouTube channel and see some three pretty potent messages where I show a lot of examples of this Laugh Revival heresy. But you have Rodney Howard Brown, and you have Kenneth Copeland, the de facto leader in the last so many years of the word faith heresy, the idea that God wants us all to be rich and wealthy and healthy and that we're gods and that Jesus suffered in hell for our sins. A lot of heresies wrapped up there. But here are these two men. You'll hear them going back and forth. They're speaking to each other, not to God. In fact, the hand movements, it's as if you were watching two Italians talking to each other, you know, back and forth, you know. You just see the hand movement, rapid fire as they're talking to each other. They don't know what they're saying, and they're talking to each other. They obviously know what they're saying, because if they were truly speaking in tongues, they'd be addressing God. Let's hear some of that. First guy is Rodney Howard Brown. Now Copeland bust in. Everybody's laughing, by the way.
It really does sound Italian.
That's probably enough of that. You know, it's sad because I was in that church for a little bit, and I addressed that issue with that pastor when I was a young believer.
Not Copeland or Brown.
No, church I went to and loved the pastor, cared about him. And I was about, I don't know, maybe 20 years old at the time, a newer believer, but in the Word. And I had brought, just before that, I brought a friend, the first person that I'd ever led to Jesus, to that church. And there was an evangelist, a guest evangelist that was speaking. And I thought, well, hopefully I'll have some, you know, weighty things to say and encourage her in her faith. And her name is Gail Johnson, sweet gal. And we're sitting there, and well, listen to what the scripture says right here before I tell you what happens. 1 Corinthians 14:23 says, so if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues and unbelievers come in, will they not say that you are out of your mind? What's he saying right there? If everybody's speaking in tongues at once and a non-believer comes in, or an unlearned person, as the King James says, or an unbeliever comes in, will they not think that you're mad, says in the King James, I believe, from my memory. Anyway, we're sitting there, Gail and I, and it was packed. This church was packed. And this evangelist is speaking. He goes, I want everybody to stand up. Everybody stands up, including myself, Gail. And all of a sudden he says, I want everybody to speak in tongues. And all of a sudden it just erupted as though everybody felt they had the gift. And they're going for it. And then he goes, now, I don't want you to just speak in tongues. I want you now to rebuke the devil in tongues. So then, as though you had a different tongue that was to the devil that addressed him, everybody just changed gears. And it's not as though they started changing what they were saying. They started yelling in anger and just in a kind of a rebuke style. It was pandemonium. I was like horrified. I'm like, what did I come to tonight? And poor Gail, she bolted, man. She took off for the lobby, foyer area. I took off after her. I said, hey, Gail, I want to share something with you. And I said, just hold on for a second. I know, I'm sorry. I did not expect that. I've never seen that before. I opened the scripture to it at 1 Corinthians 14. And I showed her the verse I just quoted, or I just read. So if the whole church comes together and everyone's speaking in tongues, and an unlearned or unbeliever comes in, will they not think that you're mad, or the version I read from, that you're out of your mind? I go, look it, this is exactly what the Bible says you would happen. The Bible states that this would happen if someone witnessed what you just saw. And what I was attempting to do there is to keep her faith in God, keep her faith in God's word, where she could see, wow, this is exactly what the Bible says. And they're in error. And her gut, you know, the horror that she sensed, you know, and, you know, the scriptures nowhere say that you're speaking to men when you're speaking in tongues, or that you are rebuking the devil.
Jude 1:9, right? Michael, the archangel, didn't even
bring a railing accusation against him. Amen. He said, but the Lord rebuke you.
Right.
That's right. That's 1:9 exactly of Jude. Good word, Tony. So I was just blown away. So early on in my walk, I started seeing, and back then, you know, we're talking about, I'm getting older now, so it was like in the early 1700s, you know? No, it was a while ago, though. I've been a believer for, that was probably around 83 or so. And it was heartbreaking. And unfortunately, she ended up in another fellowship. Not that that's unfortunate that she left that fellowship, but the fellowship she entered into was a Calvinistic fellowship, and she was taught unconditional election. And then I saw her, she was in a backslidden state, because she said, well, I've been taught, you know, I believe that, she was drunk. She said that either I'm elect and I can't be lost, or I'm lost and I can't be elect. That was que sera sera, you know, fatalism, theological or theistic fatalism. So, you know, out of one bad teaching to another. And then, you know, that's when I later, just right after that, addressed the pastor and I had to leave that fellowship. We have to take a stand, you know, on doctrines where the leadership refuses to even look at what God's word has to say on a specific issue. Now, it's interesting because when we go through the scriptures in the book of Acts, when they all started speaking in tongues, they're being heard in their different languages. Peter just didn't let them roll on, even though, guess what? Their languages were being understood by people from various people groups and countries and districts within the Roman Empire were visiting, and they were blown away. They're hearing them praise God in language. But guess what happened? They began to mock. They began to mock, and it says in verse 13 of chapter 2, some, however, made fun of them and said they've had too much wine. And Peter stands up. He says, then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all you live in Jerusalem, let me explain to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. Okay, he says, it's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And then he goes on to quote scripture. The last days, out of Joel 2, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit on those days, and they will prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So it's interesting. He actually shows that God's going to continue to manifest his power right into the end times, right into the tribulation period. And in read Revelation 11, you see the two prophets, the two witnesses prophesy, it says, for 1260 days. Gift of prophecy hasn't been done away. In fact, they're doing some pretty radical miracles. Talk about sign gifts. They're bringing, you know, they're bringing plagues like Moses did, you know, like, you know, doing some radical things. And Jesus said to his own disciples, and that not to premeditate what you say, talk about the tribulation period, but the Holy Spirit will give you utterance at that time, you know, and that's called in the book of Revelation, the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. So we have to be realize, man, we want to be filled with God's Spirit and allow him to use us in the end times. And when we see the sensationalism, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Don't say, man, there's a lot of, you know, junk going around. A lot of these guys are abusing the gifts. Paul doesn't say, hey, you know what? Just stop operating in the gifts. Don't believe in the gifts anymore. They've ceased because of this abuse. No, he recognized that God is doing something wonderful. And at the same time, don't try to encourage something beyond what God would have you encourage it and make somebody feel guilty if they don't speak in tongues. That's where some of the issues are as well, because this whole idea about there's two different distinct gifts of tongues, different kinds of tongues. There's different languages. We agree with that. Tongues of men. Paul even says tongues of angels. You know, we can see that as a possibility there in 1 Corinthians 13 because he mentions it. But the idea that there's two different functions, two different, totally different types of tongues. And some will say, well, there's a prayer language, which every believer should have. And then there's a prophetic tongue, which is to be used in the church, which only a few have. So that's how they make a distinction. And a lot of Pentecostals, a lot of charismatics want to believe that because they want to believe that everybody should speak in tongues. And that's why they'll often say, hey, do you speak in tongues?
Yeah.
You know, my wife, she was working at a bank and the gal there was really trying to get her to speak in tongues. But she was a United Pentecostal. They believe in modalism, oneness theology, that Jesus is not, or that there's no triune God, that Jesus is the Father. There's not Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And she said, if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. And this is a cult, by the way.
It's big in Jamaica, too, and a lot of different countries.
Sure is. Yeah, it is. And it's in Mexico as well. Now, these folks, I'm not confusing them with Pentecostals and Assemblies of God, Church of God, Foursquare, and Charismatics who don't deny the Trinity and aren't outside the pale of orthodoxy in those regards. But my wife said, you know what? She showed me in the book of Acts where on the day of Pentecost, they all spoke with tongues. She said, you should speak with tongues. I said, the day of Pentecost was a special day. I said, when you go back to work, ask her if there was a cloven tongue of fire on her head when she got saved. Because it also says that happened to them, you know? Anyway, and then you address some of those issues. But you guys, the scriptures don't tell us that there are two specifically different types of gifts, that everybody has the gift of, it's not in scripture, that everybody has the prayer language and only certain people have this prophetic gift. What's going on here is he that speaks in a tongue doesn't speak to men, but speaks to who?
God.
To God. So guess what? It is a prayer language. I call it a praise language, actually, because they're praising him and extolling his mighty works. You know, they're worshiping him. They're crying out to him. In fact, I don't see anywhere where it's called a prayer language, but I do see it in the function of praise and have a prophetic dimension as God speaks through them. So if you think this through, if you heard somebody speak in a tongue and they're not speaking to men, they're speaking to God. You'd hear them praising God, glorifying God, worshiping God, not speaking to each other. Okay, you wouldn't have two or three people talking to each other. Okay, and you also need an interpreter. The scriptures say, you know, there needs to be an interpretation of the said tongue. So what I'm saying is that there's one kind of gifts of tongue that scriptures talk about, and the scriptures do say very clearly that if there's no interpreter, let's say someone stands up and speaks in a tongue, says if there's no interpreter, let him sit down and keep it between himself, speak to himself and to God, meaning speaking to God in your tongue. And he says quietly. In other words, nobody should hear you. It shouldn't be, and it becomes a show-off thing with a lot of people. They want to wear it as a badge and say, hey, look how spiritual I am. I speak in tongues. Paul puts it at the bottom of the list, by the way, when you go through first, I think that's interesting, when you go through 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and through 14. It takes the bottom of the list. And then when he's talking about tongues, and he's saying, I speak in tongues more than you all. And the idea is all put together. So Paul spoke in tongues, but he said, I'd rather say just a couple, you know, a few intelligible words than a you know bunch of words that have no meaning. Because he says, he that speaks in a tongue edifies himself. You build yourself up in your faith if you have that gift. But if there's no interpreter, you're not building up the body. So he's rather seek that you may prophesy. So he goes on to talk about, I know we have a short time. And I'm thinking of doing, I'm praying about it right now, doing an in-depth, more in-depth message. You know, whole 65, 70-minute message on tongues this Wednesday. Because I think it would be good to share this with congregation. I haven't taught on this in quite some time. So if you want to catch our Wednesday message coming up, that you can get more detail here. But I think it's very important that we realize that there's certain parameters that Paul gives. And I'll actually go through the passage in more depth. But it's really interesting. Tongues is actually a judgment from God, the way it's spoken. Using believers to speak to the Jewish people who rejected the Messiah. Okay? And we see that because the Apostle Paul, he actually quotes a scripture from Isaiah. Verse 20 says, brothers and sisters, stop thinking like children in regard to evil. Be infants, but in your thinking be adults. And the law is written, now he's quoting Isaiah, with other tongues and through the lips of foreigners I will speak to this people. But even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Pretty heavy. In other words, he's saying that he's going to speak through the tongues of other people to his people, through foreigners, but they still won't listen. And it's going to show the hardness of their hearts. And the context there in Isaiah 28 is the Assyrians were coming. And he was going to use the Assyrians as the rod to judge Israel. And he did. And they spoke other languages. And they didn't understand, you know, they still didn't get it. They still didn't understand it. Well, guess what? The Jewish people had rejected the Messiah. In Acts 2, many of those who'd rejected the testimony of Jesus already were hearing them in their own language. You heard them mocking, okay? Their hearts were off, you know, were very hard. Doesn't mean there wasn't a remnant. Doesn't mean God didn't use it to open eyes. But it was a judgment. It was more of a negative sign than a positive one. So I think that's fascinating when you look at the scripture. And that's actually verse 21 of 1 Corinthians 14, quoting from chapter 28. Now, of the book of Isaiah. Now, he goes on to say at the end of 1 Corinthians 12, that's a more excellent way. He tells them to go the way of love, the way of agape, though I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but don't have love. He says, I'm nothing. So let's make sure as Christians that we major in love and major in the fruit of the Spirit, and then the gifts of the Spirit will follow. But let's also stay away from the excesses. Let's stay away from the hyper-charismatic sensationalism where they go beyond Scripture. Scriptures say, regarding tongues, let all things be done decently and in order. But they need to be done in order. And we're supposed to have two or three at the most, it says, speak in tongues. Not everybody at once. And there needs to be an interpreter if it's going to be public. And then we're supposed to stand by, Paul says, and judge the gift of tongues, whether it's from God or not. So stay away from that excessive area. But let's also stay away from the position of John MacArthur and others who forbid tongues and disobey the scripture that says, let all things be done decently in order regarding tongues and the other gifts. And the scripture that says, but everything must be done not only proper and orderly manner. Verse 40, but right before that says, so my brothers, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. It's easy to just say, oh, let's just jettison it. No, don't forbid it or you're breaking the scripture. John MacArthur and others who are cessationists are breaking the scripture. This is dangerous. Why? Because in verse 39 or verse 38, right before that, it says, but if anyone ignores this, he himself will be ignored. That's a scary verse. When you ignore what God says about these things, you'll be ignored. God have mercy on us and help us to do everything decently and in order, but help us test everything and hold fast to that which is good.
Amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.